Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
8:06 this Thursday in the nation's capital. You're listening to O'Connor and Company. It's me, Larry O'Connor, and she, Mary Catherine Hamm.
It is I.
And coming up in 30 minutes, we'll check in with our old friend, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Totally appropriate. Got a new book out. Also, Memorial Day coming up. And also lots to discuss with the NRA. He had an affiliation with that organization a while back. So we'll get into all that. But, right here in our backyard, Fairfax County, the trial of... Yeah, there they are. It's the crazy train. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. It continued yesterday, and I know that you're all over this thing, aren't you, Mary Catherine?
Well, I have been watching, yes.
Yeah. Mary Catherine has thoughts.
Well, I got to tell you, and I know it's morning radio. I'm going to keep it PG.
Yeah.
The poop in the bed is really what drew me in.
I'll be honest with you. We are of like mind here.
I'm not proud of it.
That incident sort of caught my attention. I was like, there's a whole lot going on in this marriage.
And Johnny Depp's refutation of the idea that it might have been the dogs, or four-pound teacup dogs. It was not the dogs.
No dog that I've ever seen drew me in.
But then I started to pay attention, and I do think it's a thing worth discussing, whether the believe women, which is what Amber Heard was operating under, mm-hmm. when she wrote her 2018 Washington Post op-ed, which Depp claims defamed him by suggesting that he abused her, which she had suggested before in a court and gotten a temporary restraining order, that this defamed him. But she was operating under that sort of media tidal wave of Me Too.
Right.
And the watchword was believe all women.
That's right.
And I don't think that's a particularly useful way to adjudicate things in the public square. It's certainly not in courtrooms.
Mm.
And it's not fair to the other party if that's the standard we use. And then I just sort of started paying attention and noticed, well, there's one person on tape saying that they abused the other one, and it's Amber Heard. It's not Johnny Depp. And so I thought to myself, that doesn't mean that he is faultless, but it does mean that we should take seriously that she did some things here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just believing her part.
Yeah. Listen, whenever anybody has suggested that this isn't worth our time and focus, that is the crux of it. The believe all women Me Too thing, which was incredibly destructive and goes outside of the norms of Western civilization, frankly, since the Magna Carta, which I think, should get our attention. We raised some red flags about it when that became the thing. And now the fact that Johnny Depp himself has instigated this trial, he is the plaintiff here because he feels he has been wronged. He knew all this stuff was going to come out. This is all part of the evidence. The only way that he's going to prove his case of defamation is to sadly expose a whole lot of unflattering stuff.
He's like, I'm an addict who does a lot of crappy things.
Right.
And also, I did not abuse her.
But I didn't do this. That's right. And in fact, one of the sort of apocryphal stories about Johnny Depp's past was actually finally laid to rest yesterday. Kate Moss, his ex-girlfriend from the late 90s. Boy, what a couple they were. If you look at those pictures, it's just, it's a little insane.
If anybody was hurt, it was impaling of cheekbones.
Yeah.
The cheekbones are so sharp that it's dangerous to be in a room with those two.
But there was always this rumor that she had injured herself from him pushing her down the stairs. It became sort of an urban legend, like a Richard Gere sort of thing with, these things that, everybody knows that. Well, does everybody know it? Finally, Kate Moss was sworn under oath in her testimony yesterday, and she put this rumor to rest.
We were leaving the room and Johnny left the room before I did, and there had been a rainstorm, and as I left the room I slid down the stairs and I hurt my back.
How did you
and
I apologize, Miss Moss, please continue.
And I screamed because I was in because I didn't know what had happened to me and I was in pain, and he came running back to help me and carried me to my room and got me medical attention.
Almost painting the picture of a gallant Johnny Depp sort of helping her.
Well, and that is to me is an interesting part of how all this has gone. And since she accused him of these things, and again, she was granted a restraining order, although at the incident over which she was granted the restraining order, she was also had contact with two sets of LAPD officers who did not see markings on her at that time. Mm-hmm. So those are the facts that have been actually adjudicated in a criminal court of some sense. But men can be abused, and I want to open my mind to that possibility. Mm-hmm. And you also get these testimony from his exes who have proactively put out statements in this very tough era when Believe Women was the requirement,
yeah.
including his ex who he left for Amber Heard.
Right.
That's a pretty high bar. So I just want to consider all this evidence.
That all, you're right. All of that makes Kate Moss's testimony incredibly powerful and important. There's also one other aspect of this, and that is that Amber Heard, when she was on the stand, she walked right up to the line, if not crossing the line, of insinuating at the very least that Johnny Depp had thrown Kate Moss down the stairs. Right. So this actually prejudices or perjures her testimony in a certain way.
And you could see Depp's lawyer at that moment get excited because she brought Moss up, they could bring her in
yeah.
as a witness. That opened the door to that particular incident. And like I said, their therapist, I think, said that they were engaged in mutual abuse. And that
right.
seems fairly clear, at least on the verbal and emotional level.
Absolutely. This was an abusive relationship on both sides. That goes without saying. Incredibly broken people in, honestly, I'm trying to take as many positive takeaways as possible from this whole thing. If any of your children, your kids, or even if you at some point have envied people in the public spotlight in Hollywood because of their fame and their lifestyle and all, it must be so easy. These are broken people,
Ooh.
Guys, and do not envy or covet the lifestyles that they have, and use this as a way to instruct your children and teach your children that, no, there's nothing to idolize about the lifestyles that these people have. Speaking of fame and the tawdry aspect of it, the lawyers seem to be, you know, becoming celebrities in
yes.
their own right. That's what seems to happen
they
in these
By the way, is not one of Heard's lawyers is named Rottenberry?
That's some branding right there, isn't
it? It's just like the whole thing has its sort of own absurd level that
yeah.
I think attracts people to it. There's the celebrity, but then it's like the absurdity of some of the things that are happening here and the characters involved mm-hmm. is quite something.
Well, it reached meta levels yesterday because you had one of Amber Heard's attorneys questioning a reporter from TMZ. Said this whole thing is TMZ. The TMZ reporter was there talking about the source of this tape of Johnny Depp slamming kitchen cabinets, and where did it come from?
Yeah.
And there was this moment.
And so this gets you your 15 minutes of fame.
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative.
I can ask that question.
Overruled.
So I stand to gain nothing from this. I'm actually putting myself kind of in the target of TMZ, a very litigious organization, and I'm not seeking any 15 minutes here. Though you're welcome to speculate. I could say the same thing by taking Amber Heard as a client for you.
Argumentative, don't you think?
Oh, hardly. I find that to be purely logical.
Oh, suddenly he's being argumentative. It's a fair point. Oh, so you're just getting your 15 minutes of fame by being here. Well, I could say the same about you for taking her case in the first place. What is the jury going to make
I like that he allowed for the speculation about himself to be generous and then turned
yes.
it around on her.
It's
clever.
It's a jiu-jitsu move there. So you are tracking this. You're watching it as well. You have a busy schedule, obviously. But I didn't mean that as a back. No, what I mean is you can't watch it all the time.
I neglect my children, and I tune into this 24/7. No, there's...
Go give yourself a bath. I'm watching Johnny Depp.
No, I think I obviously look to alternative sources because that's a lot of the streaming and the,
yeah.
the stories on this come from alternative sources like YouTube channels or Instagram. There's a couple of people who cover it on Instagram in a sort of new media type of way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I think that people are interested in this is because they feel that regular media, mainstream media, will not address Depp's actual allegations.
Yeah.
And so they're looking elsewhere for that balance. And some of them are not looking for balance at all because they really, really, really love Johnny Depp, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's a sort of idol worship thing in its own right.
I do wish the federal courts had cameras in the courtroom because then we could give as much coverage to the Durham trial right now with Mr. Sussman,
oh, yeah.
the FBI, and the Clinton campaign. with the Russian collusion hoax, but we will just have to cover that as best we can.
Maybe they'll call Kate Moss.
It's 8:15 now. She has her fingerprints in everything.
She's all over.
She? Oh, absolutely. The Steele dossier.
The British are coming.
It did come from MI5. Do you love New York as much? I lived there for 5 years. I go back all the time.
I love to visit.
Yeah.
You've
never lived there, though.
No, I could never. I was too old when I finally had the money to make it semi-comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to either do it when you're very young and poor.
That's exactly what I've always said.
Yeah.
Young and poor, great time to be in New York. Or if you're super wealthy, it's great.
Yeah.
It's impossible to live there. Yeah.
In the middle is terrible.
And that's when I moved. That's when I moved out and took a job in California instead. But I did love living there. I loved being poor there. I really did. I know that sounds weird, but it's a fun city if you don't have a whole lot of money. Well, you know, New York, because of their leadership and just because of the nature of New York, it got hit hard by the pandemic, partly because of the mayor there and because of the governor. But also, I mean, listen, if there's a virus going around, just in general, New York's not a good city to be in, right? I mean, you're in cramped quarters, you're tight, those subways, just everything
density.
About it. It's density. That's right. So they're having some real problems getting people back to work in Manhattan. But one of the biggest problems post-pandemic is not because people are still afraid of catching the virus, because at this point, you know.
Right.
No, it's the crime. Crime has become such a problem in New York City over this time, and because of the horrible leadership of Bill de Blasio, that companies are just – it's impossible for them to get workers to come back and commute.
Yeah, it's a different feel. It really is, and it matters to people. It matters for quality of life. And the thing is, when you live in a big city – especially in the heart of a big city, your cost of living goes way up.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is that you get to do all these wonderful things in a big city. Well, during COVID, you couldn't do any of those wonderful things. And now there are far fewer of the wonderful things, but with added crime that make doing the wonderful things much harder and more dangerous.
And you know, we're seeing these videos, these, you know, surveillance videos now showing horrific crimes taking place, just random acts of violence where people are getting stabbed, old people, their canes are getting kicked out from under them in the middle of the day, in the middle of the street in New York. And it seems like it's just become this lawless, you know, jungle.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think we have, and this covers a lot of things, and I'm not using it as a distraction from any particular story. It's just a thread of mental health issues, which I think were exacerbated by a lot of the things we did to people during 2020 and 2021. You took away people's healthy outlets. You took away prospects for treatment in person, especially, which is necessary for many people. And people went down bad spirals.
Yeah.
And I do think we need to think very carefully, and I don't know how because I don't trust public health that much right at this moment, how we put resources in the right places to actually help people who are very sick and who are liable to hurt other people.
I don't disagree that the mental health issues are a big part of it. I also think that there's just a cultural and moral decay in this country that has been allowed to go unabated, and that makes for a criminal culture. But by the way, this is not exclusive to New York. New York is getting a lot of the focus because of the density there and because of the high numbers. But D.C. is no better. I mean, Meredith and I, we love Washington. When we moved here, we were shocked how much we loved Washington, D.C. This is not the same town as it was 9 years ago.
No, and I think logically, I'm not a person who's prone to a lot of anxiety. But looking at the numbers, when I come to D.C., I am more careful than I used to be.
You just had dinner with friends downtown last
night. Had dinner
night.
Last night, and I had the Uber take me my block to my car. When we were done, it was late at night. I don't know exactly what that neighborhood is like now, because the neighborhood in my head from 2 years ago might be very different from the neighborhood that it is now. Got dropped off at my car because you have to make different calculations than you used to.
Yeah, we would come down in the evening when parking is a little easier, when you go to restaurants or bars and meet friends. We don't want to leave our car on the street anymore.
Yeah.
Because,
by the way, it was an Uber that other friends were already in. I wasn't just having
them
take
me. Yeah, that did sound very bougie. Yeah. Oh, this is my Suburban. I've got a block to go.
The Uber driver would be so mad. I swear I'm going to tip you.
All right. Oh, we do love the outrages from the left. Here's the latest. Walmart. This is no good deed goes unpunished. Walmart to celebrate the upcoming Juneteenth celebration, which, by the way, I endorse because it was an Abraham Lincoln Republican measure, Juneteenth, the Emancipation Proclamation. They put out a special Juneteenth ice cream to celebrate Juneteenth. It's like, hey, you buy this Juneteenth ice cream. And now they're getting screamed at. by the left. I'm not sure why.
It's just standard pandering. Standard capitalist pandering.
They have now announced that they will remove these items as inappropriate as it reviews its Juneteenth products. I think they're saying this is a solemn occasion. It's not something to be celebrated with ice cream.
I mean, it...
I don't know.
It's a holiday.
Oh, yeah. It's 8:30 in the nation's capital.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. A Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9. WMAL.
News now. Now.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
WMAL. It's 8:37. Larry O'Connor with Mary Catherine Hamm here. So many, 11 years ago is when you last hosted here?
Well, it's not when I last hosted, but I noticed that on this day, 11 years ago, I was hosting.
And here you are back.
Here I am.
Well,
my life is a never-ending loop of joy.
Coming up in a bit. Wait, there was an edge there. We will reflect on your career and your life over the past years, because it's been incredibly eventful.
Oh, thanks. God knows. Been thinking I deserve my own segment, you know?
All right. Yeah. Mary Catherine next. But first, this guy deserves his own segment, too. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, combat decorated U.S. Marine. And he's got a brand new book out, Tragic Consequences, The Price America is Paying for Rejecting God and How to Reclaim Our Culture for Christ. Colonel North, thanks for being here, sir.
Larry, great to be with you, and congratulations on your anniversary, Mary Catherine.
Thank you very much.
Listen, this book is perfectly timed considering what we're seeing. You know, all this talk about guns and about safety and about policing and everything in light of what happened in Texas, not a lot of people are talking about the obvious moral and cultural decay we've experienced in this country.
It's horrific, and it's been going on for decades. I was in the last high school class in America that could pray in a public school classroom. That was 1961-62. The case was in New York. I was growing up in New York. My dad's last duty station was in New York. First hero I ever met in my life was my own dad. By 1973, we get to Roe v. Wade, and the sanctity of human life is totally destroyed. And the end result of that has been I can't figure out what these folks who wanted all that to happen were thinking was going to happen once you drove God out of our schools, out of our public spaces, out of everything. Certainly our media, our entertainment businesses, all is to include social media. I'm sure that the cover of my book alone is enough to get me dropped off several so-called social media sites. I have no doubt about it. At the end of the day, the result is the total breakdown of the sanctity of human life. That's the one common characteristic for all of these horrific events. The massacres that have occurred in the last, less than 2 weeks since the Supreme Court case got leaked, and we now have justices of the Supreme Court being threatened.
Yeah.
We have, and you know, no one wants to mention this, but I'll tell you this. Part of the goal of that whole movement of harassing and threatening the justices is to have several of them say, that's it. My family does not need that. I went through that. But we had federal guards. We had 37 federal agents protecting my family from the 11th of February all the way through the hearings and the trials and the rest of it. 37 Naval Intelligence Special Operations guys protected my family because we detected the threat. And people say there's nothing you can do except absolute gun control, get rid of the Second Amendment. That's just not true. We could use, when I was president of the NRA, a program that began in I think it was 2012, called School Shield, became one of my priorities. And School Shield is all about using the tried and true tested techniques that we use in the U.S. military to protect an installation. It's how we protect our ships at sea. I know, because I was a Marine. And your daughter knows this, because she, too, is a Naval Academy graduate. I mean, all of those kinds of things ought to be done. Instead, we've got members of Congress texting members of the Senate and others with profane language and threatening them.
Right.
I mean, think about how degrading that is to our culture, none of which is good for this country. And the answer is just what's on the cover of that book.
Let me ask you this, Colonel North. One of the discussions we have inevitably in the wake of a tragic shooting is, as Biden put it, when will we stand up to the, quote, gun lobby? And one thing I remind folks is that your quibble is not with the gun lobby per se. It's with A, the Constitution, and B, the American people are the gun lobby.
Yeah,
and I would say, if anything, the technical gun lobby has lost power and prestige in the last several years. What is your take on that part of this argument?
Well, my getting fired was not helpful.
I would agree with that. I left that open for you.
Yeah.
Well, the new emphasis is not on saving lives, obviously. But look at what you just said is absolutely true. There are more firearms in America in the hands of law-abiding citizens than there are people. Okay, you're talking more than 335 million firearms, many more than that, legally in the hands of Americans who bought them. We have the mislabeling, the deception that's being perverted all over America by people who call them, quote, assault weapons. They're not. Fact is, an assault weapon has a full automatic selection, and you can't legally have one of those without a Class 3 federal firearms license. You've got guns flowing across the southern border that we have no idea how many. We have a very porous border, none of which is helping us. And you could apply the techniques that we use to protect, look at government buildings, courthouses, airports, you name it. Any major business has armed guards protecting the people that are coming in. Why aren't we doing that instead of trying to change the Constitution?
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Your book title suggests that there is a path back here to reclaim the culture. Because even people who have like sort of come around and said, oh, my gosh, how did we let things go so far with regard to the devaluing of life and the culture of death in this country? But they'll say, but it's too late. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. How are they wrong? You tell us.
Well, look, this book is all about how to do it. There's every chapter has a how to fix it problem. The problem is the definition of how you fix it. This country, there ought not to be congressmen sending text messages to members of the Republican Party for saying we need to pray for America. We need desperately to pray for America. I mean, you and I grew up in a culture where that was commonplace. I mean, I'm a tad older than you are, but the bottom line of it is we don't have to continue on this track. The churches of this country, the broadcasters of this country, the folks who know, and I know the power of the Lord. I've experienced it. I am proof of miracles. I'm praying for one for my wife. Those are the kinds of things that this country ought to be proud of being able to do. It's how the country was formed. The Holy Bible was the formation of what we have as a republic, all of which says, here are your rights, but there's also responsibilities. And the behavior, look, I got 18 grandkids. My behavior is what I want my children to see as a role model for how to be a mature Christian in this country. And each of those 18 grandkids is getting to see that with how I behave, not the words I use, not the words I print in books, but my behavior. And that's the kind of thing that we need to do to equip Christians who are concerned about the cultural darkness surrounding us. Shine the light of faith right into this darkness.
His book is out now. It would be a fine Father's Day present and, frankly, a fine graduation present and maybe a book to send your kids off to college with. It's called Tragic Consequences, The Price America's Paying for Rejecting God and How to Reclaim Our Culture for Christ. And I can attest his name is still up there on the wall as the brigade champion, boxing champion at the United States Naval Academy. Great to talk with you on commencement week as well, commissioning week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, you can get 15% off by going to faithfultext.com. And Faithful Text, a direct connection to the Marines who wrote this book, Semper Fidelis means always faithful. 15% off going to faithfultext.com. And by the way, I'll be at the Heroes Festival at Daytona International Speedway on this coming weekend.
So all right.
HeroesHonorFestival.com. Anybody wants to join us down
there. Busy man. And have a great Memorial Day weekend, Colonel North.
Bless you guys. Keep up the great work. Semper Fi.
Mary Catherine Hamm, it's been great having you all morning, yesterday and today, and we've been reflecting a little bit today. I joined the family here at WMAL a little bit, just like a year after you left, mm-hmm. I think. But I can attest to the fact that as major events happened in your life and you've been part of the national conversation, we've had you back many times. So it's great. It's great to have you back again here. I hope it hasn't been too painful.
Oh, it's been great. And it's a lot of life has happened since I became part of the team.
Well,
it's a nice time for reflection.
We talked about your recent marriage, your new baby. But one thing we didn't talk about earlier, because I don't know how to bring it up, but you generously said, let's talk about it, was the tragic death of your husband, Jake.
Yes. So I bring it up because people like to hear an update about me and my kids. And I like to thank people for supporting us because I know so many listeners to WMAL knew me at that time, 2015. My first husband died in a cycling accident, and I was 7 months pregnant with my second child.
Yeah.
So it was a real rough go for a while there. And I know that many people financially supported us by donating to a GoFundMe. My children's livelihoods and education are very appreciative for that. And maybe more importantly, they prayed for us. And so I just wanted to say thank you to anybody who's listening, because I didn't always get to thank people by text or email or anything, because my life was a shambles at that moment. So thank you for that. And I did get remarried in 2020 to a wonderful man named Steve. And we got married the Saturday before COVID. We got married March 7th, 2020.
Wow.
And we had the last great guilt-free party of that year. And he has adopted the girls.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And yes, for Christmas last year, I sort of we set that up.
Fantastic.
He's adopted the girls. We have a new little girl, and so that is the short update on my family. But my kids are happy and healthy, and it's partly due to the fact that people who watched me through my career cared about me and took care of me during that time. So I appreciate it. I know there's many of you that I will never meet or know about, but.
Well, listen, we will continue to pray because, and hopefully we're all praying for each other these days.
.com.
By the way, I mean, yes, of course we will continue to support and pray for Mary Catherine Hamm, but the best way to support her is to download her podcast.
It's called Getting Hammered, because of course it is.
Of course
getting
it is.
Getting Hammered.
Getting Hammered.
You'll like it,
I'm in the mood for Getting Hammered.
Did you launch on St. Patrick's Day?
Right.
This is why you finish work at 9 a.m., so you can just go ahead and do that.
Start drinking heavily.
Mary Catherine, again, it was great. Thank you for being here.
Up Thank next,
you can hear him now. He's Chris Plant, isn't
he? It's an O'Connor. It's an O'Connor and Company thing. The, the company's a six-pack.
That's right.
It's like an Irish seven-course meal, you
Thanks
know, potato.
You know what?
Potato
I
and a
don't
six-pack.
Need this kind of ethnic abuse.
Oh, speaking of Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke, who has, isn't that cultural appropriation to go around with this Beto thing? And
Beto.
The news media, they just adopted. You know where Beto comes from, why his nickname, right?
Wasn't it his, like, nanny or
something? Housekeeper. Housekeeper who was Spanish-speaking. Who's his name is Roberto. We call him Beto. And now he's been pretending to be, you know, Mexican or something since he was 5 years old. This guy is such a Sacagawea. Can you still say Sacagawea? Sacagawea, has that been banned?
Sure, why not?
Did you see in San Francisco, the school district has announced they're no longer using the word chief in any job titles, like chief executive officer?
Yeah.
Because Indians.
Well, that was...
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.